Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 207. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
So as you know, I went camping for a couple of days to kind of get out of the house and such. And I don't have my land legs back, I guess.
Which that
is
happens.
Weird because, yeah, camping is on ground, right? Last I checked, you don't do that on the water.
Yeah.
I went fishing with my kids for, I don't know, they're 5 and 6. Like you said, their attention span isn't very long. So we weren't there very long at all on the dock. And for some reason, in my house, I still feel it. I didn't feel it until I got home. I feel like I'm still on the dock, like the waves are going. And it is nauseating AF.
Not good. We don't like that for you. That's bad vibes.
It's bad. The whole ride over from there, nothing. It was perfect. Second I got in my house, boom. Oh, boy, look out. Maybe it's my crooked walls triggering it.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where we're at. What's going on with you, man?
Not a whole lot. It's been going. I have a little vacation time in a couple weeks, so I'm kind of like running out the clock at the day job for not next week, the following week. I have a week off, and I am just like, you know, in like the movies when they're like putting the X in the count. That's basically me right now. I'm ready. I need the time. My boss, if you're listening, I apologize. I just need a mental break right now. I'm spent.
Don't apologize. Never apologize for wanting time off ever.
There you go. So that's pretty much it for me. It's just the countdown to some much needed away time. That's all.
I remember when I was in the government, we had this big, huge payday calendar, like massive. And I'd have like purple because I only had a purple highlighter. Why purple? I don't know. And I would X out all the days until I was leaving, like for my leave to do this. So that everyone can see like, oh, you got another week left. And then I'd scratch a day off. A week minus a day.
Good stuff. I love it.
It was amazing. I can't. Oh, it felt good. It felt really good to X out a day.
Perfect. Love that. We have a little sponsor to talk about today, don't we, Mitch?
Attention, listeners across the galaxy. See. All the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? Excuse me. And then it wants me to insert space music. We're not going to do that. If so, and even if you don't have a pube problem, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0 exclamation mark. Kick your pubes to the next planet. Yeah, maybe take care of that. Don't dump them on someone else. That's not fun. with the Performance Package 4.0, the orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity. My God. When you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Honestly, in anyone grooming. Anyone should use these products.
This is true.
Female, unidentified, doesn't matter. Use them. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff or fuselage, not fuselage. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to
yes.
get to. I just did another phallic symbol for some reason. Get ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with code FANSIDED20. So that's manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. Do it. Your pubes or area will thank you.
Yes. Mitch and I can both attest that this is a phenomenal product.
All the products, the whole family of products. I use the Revitalizer today because my area needed a little bit of refreshing. Perfect. Immediate refresher.
The cologne is in my rotation. Like, I have a nice rotation of cologne. You know, I like to change up my scent and that I mix it in there. Yeah.
You have a cologne like rotation? God damn, where have I been? I have like one and it's like my beard oil and that's it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I like to mix it up.
No, that's great. I just feel like I'm lame for not having that.
Oh, no. Never say that. So we have some stuff to talk about, even though nothing's really happening, which someone replied. So every time before the podcast, I write like a preview article, just basically like, hey, if you missed last week, you know, here's a link at the bottom. And then I will explain, kind of give you a preview what we're going to be talking about. And when I tweeted that out, someone responded, was like, honestly, I give you guys so much credit for talking about or having like a, you know, good podcast when there's really not a whole lot going on. Because he's like, this should be a prime time and nothing's happening. And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? This guy's right. Forgive me. I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. But if you're listening, thank you. We appreciate that.
Go on for 45 minutes to 50 about like Lou did nothing today. On to the next topic. How do you stretch out for weeks on end? We're darn done doing it.
And writing articles every day.
Two plus per day, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. So we do have some rumored signings we could talk about. Now, we don't have any details, so we don't know the term. We don't know the cost. But last week, it was really Zach Parise and Kyle Palmieri. That was the, you know, the main topic of conversation. Well, now you could add to the mix of Casey Cizikis, Travis Zajac, Anatoly Goloshev, and Michael Dal Colle apparently back in the mix.
Yeah, I was really thrown by the Michael Dal Colle one because he wasn't, as we all know, offered a qualifying offer. And you're going, why the hell not? Well, it's because his deal, and it took me a while to figure this out, and a couple of people had to point it out to me. So credit to everyone else online. Michael Dal Colle signed a deal, a one-way deal last time. So while he could have received the qualifying offer that would have paid him a league minimum $750,000, it would have been a one-way deal. This way, they can sign him to a two-way deal, which is effectively what they've supposedly done. So this gives the team a lot more flexibility, at least when it comes to Michael Dal Colle, who's probably going to bounce between the NHL and AHL.
Yeah, it honestly makes a ton of sense because I don't, and we're going to get into this really in the second segment here. I don't anticipate him being in the regular rotation. I think he's probably a very likely candidate to be buried. But, you know, looking at what he's given the Islanders, I guess I kind of understand why they want to bring him back. Like, Barry likes him. It's not going to cost a whole lot. They have a lot of guys who can fill that role. But if you can sign him to a two-way deal and stash him in Bridgeport, you probably sign up for that, right?
He might not like it, but what else do you got, right? Like, where else are you going to go?
Yeah, I mean, from the Islanders' perspective, like, you might as well do that. I don't think he has very many, you know, NHL options. I think he would have signed somewhere if he did.
Yeah, although you say that, and I'm going to get to it in the social segment. There's a player who left the Islanders as a free agent and still found himself with not necessarily an NHL gig, but at least some sort of NHL gig. I'm teasing it as hard as I possibly can without giving it away. Most people already know who I'm talking about here, but if that person is getting a look-see at the NHL level, I would imagine Michael Dal Colle could have received a two-way offer somewhere else. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, probably. He probably could have, but I don't know. Maybe he's comfortable. Maybe he likes it here. I don't know. I can't get in his head.
I think so. I think he just likes it here. I think he knows that he can maybe carve out a spot. But that's why they didn't qualify him and why he's now signed, right? Because at first it looks confusing. You didn't qualify him, now you signed him. Why didn't you just send him a qualifying offer? Well, it's because of the flexibility here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And honestly, smart play from Lou. I like that move.
Yeah, this is like Galaxy brain type of stuff, right? Like things that not everyone is thinking about.
Yeah, because at first it was, oh, well, why didn't they extend him a qualifying offer? And most people were surprised. And, you know, I think we anticipated he was going to get one. And then when he didn't, but it leaks in a sense that he's going to be coming back on a two-way deal, you kind of go, oh, all right, well, that makes some sense.
Yeah, like, well, whatever. We're going to sign it to $750,000, and it's a two-way deal. Big whoop.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other ones that are more consequential, if you will, or carry a bigger impact, that being Cizikis and Travis Zajac, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll start with Cizikis there. He's rumored 6 years at $2.5 million. My first question for you, Mitch, is what happened? I thought he was going to get $4 million a year.
Guaranteed $4 million, at least five. He asked Seattle for five. He must be asking the same for Lou. That's not how this works. He's asking for five because if I'm going to go to a team that's probably not going to do well, I wants to get paid for it.
Which is fair. That's completely fair.
Yeah, he doesn't want to leave the island. He doesn't want to leave. So unless pay me a premium to leave.
Right, unless they make him an offer you can't refuse. But if you're comfortable taking, what's $2.5 million over 6 years? Not a math pod.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I'll do it.
Is it at 15?
Yeah, it's 15. 15 mil to stay put after he got paid $3.5 million a year over the last 5 years before that. Or what was it, 3.25?
3.35.
Sorry, I always get that percentile wrong or the digit wrong.
Well, it's
wrong.
Because you got that signing and the Cal Clutterbuck signing that are pretty, on the same, right? Cal Clutterbuck expires next year. So it's kind of the same thing at 3.5 and 3.35. And you think that Cizikas would get more because he's a center, but apparently not. So he already got $16.75 million. So he's losing, potentially here, we're assuming the rumor is true, $1.75 million over 6 years. Right? That's not a whole lot. What was it? 1.75 divided by 6. He's losing under $300,000 a year.
Well, the other one was a 5-year deal, too. So that's got to play a factor in it.
True, right? So, again, not a math podcast here, but that's not necessarily what we're here to discuss. We're going to discuss that they're getting Casey Zekas at a cheap indeed. I don't know how they're working out the math for the contract itself to work that out. He was making $4 million salary last year. I don't imagine he's going to take a cut at any point, at least in terms of salary in year one. That's why they're putting up the 6. Like, we'll give you $4 million. I'm just not sure how they do it. You can't really front load it, so you're going to have to back load it. And if you do that, well, then he's taking a cut now, hard.
Right. So I'm curious. I agree with you. I'm curious to see kind of when the details come out on that one, how it was structured. But while the term isn't ideal for a 30-year-old who's a fourth liner, if that's what it took to get him to stay at that price, I am fine with it.
Yeah, honestly, this is the beating heart of the team. It's the soul of the team. The identity of the identity line.
Yeah.
He really is important to this team. Look at what happened when they weren't there 2 years ago, right? Where they only had 19 games of the fourth line intact.
Yeah, it didn't go very well.
It did not go very well. Of course, you have Adam Pellick not being there as well in that factor. So not only do you not have Casey Zekas, but then you don't have Adam Pellick. Look out. And it shouldn't be. You shouldn't be sunken by your top defenseman going away and your fourth line center, but that's how important he is to the Islanders.
No, without a doubt. And I mean, honestly, he probably will retire an Islander, which that's cool. He deserves that because he really has meant a lot to this organization for a long time. He's been a regular since what, 2012, 2013?
2012, 2013, had 45 games there. He had 12 the year before that, but he was still, 52 games in the AHL. He really made his role in that 12-13 season and then never looked back.
Yeah, that's a long time. He deserves it. I think he does.
Deserves it. Yeah. And if anyone, we see Barry Trotz comes in and he implants this defensive first mentality and you think production's going down for everyone across the board. Casey Zekas puts up 20 goals and 33 points that year.
Yeah, his goal scoring's been pretty good. He was on pace for, I believe, 10 or 11 goals over an 82-game season this year. It was 7, right? In 49, roughly?
56. 7 divided by 56.
He played
a full year this year.
Okay. That surprised me. I thought he missed a couple.
But you're right, on pace for 10, which is low. Last year at 10 and 48, right? That's a pace of 17.
Okay, maybe that was what I was thinking of for some reason. Anyway.
Either way, you got your fourth line center putting up, let's pace it all out, 20, 37, 47 goals over the last 3 years. 47 goals over 3 years, you're averaging 15.6 goals, so 16 goals per year from your fourth line center.
Yeah, you'll take that. And everything else he does too, not just the, hey, I could pop in 10 to 15 goals, let's call it, maybe more in a good year. But I'm also a very valuable penalty killer and a very important piece on arguably the most important line on the team. So I'm glad that Casey Zekas is back. Again, the term isn't great. I don't know what a 35 and 36-year-old Casey Zekas is going to look like, but you sign up for that when your window is now in the next few years.
You just locked up. You have already the best third-line center in the league, Jean-Gabriel Pageau. Probably a pretty darn good second-line center.
mm-hmm. on just about every NHL team. And now you have the best fourth line center in the league, without question. There's no debate. None. I don't want to hear from any fan base like, well, my fourth line center, it's pretty good. Casey Zekas is the best fourth line center in the NHL. There's no question. I don't even want to talk about Don Cherry. It doesn't even matter. Fourth best line. My God. Fourth.
Nope.
Best fourth line center in the league. There we go. But now you have your bottom six, at least in the center, locked up for a while. You're good there. That's important. You look at all the other teams out there looking for sandpaper or grit or identity, and just like trying to find whatever player they can to like pigeonhole into something or jam a square peg in a circle hole. No, not with Casey Zekas, it fits. With Jean-Gabriel Pageau, it fits. You've already got that locked up. And now you're locking him up for maybe $2.5 million? Whew, that's a million-dollar cut AAV.
Yeah, just about. But are you hinting at, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example, like giving Barclay Gaudreau almost $4 million a year and giving up a draft pick for Ryan Reeves, like something like that?
If those things happen, yeah, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, just wanted some clarification. That's what I thought you meant, but okay, we're on the same page. Good.
I love throwing shade at the Rangers. I get what they're doing, and I know it's all we're all laughing at them because you're going, oh, your big ad is you're bringing in Ryan Reeves. They've already got top six talent. That's really what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, so Casey can sign. Then there's Travis Zajac, and that one kind of threw me a little bit for a loop because you're going, why? Why? I get he's okay, but did you really need to do that?
I don't, for the veteran minimum, which I'm assuming that's what it's going to be, I don't hate it.
I hope it's veteran minimum, but for me, it's, we got a lot of bodies. Do we not?
They do, but what I like is Zajac's versatility, because he can play center. He played left wing for this team. He could play on the right wing for this team. He can play fourth line. He could play third line. Like, I don't know. Would you feel more would you feel more comfortable with Travis Zajac on the third line in a pinch or Leo Komarov on the third line in a pinch?
100% Travis Zajac, but I can't then just say like, okay, I'm putting Travis Zajac in. Goodbye, Leo Komarov. Leo Komarov is $3 million cap. It is still there, at least for this year.
Right. Should I say it? Because it kind of has to do with our next segment here. I don't know if I want to give too much away, but I would bury Leo Komarov.
Bury?
No, what? Send him on the ferry to Bridgeport. How about that? That sounds nicer.
Here's your ticket. Say hi to Connecticut for us. You're not wrong. Then that's just really what I'm trying to get to, and I'm essentially teasing our next segment. Where it's going, we got a lot of bodies down there. And it's not that any of them are necessarily bad. Again, I like Leo Komarov in a third line, 13th forward role. I don't like the cap hit, but it is what it is. Can't change that. It's just now you look at the number of bodies we got operating on that bottom six, essentially 13th forward replacement level player, and you're going, that's a lot. I know they've got a plan. I can't work it out with how many bodies they've got there.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to get into that in a little bit here. Do you want to talk about Anatoly Goloshev first before we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
We don't see him at the NHL level right away, do we?
No, I was going to say, I think he is in the AHL. I think that's probably our fair bet here.
I think so. Even from conditioning standpoint, right? The last time he played was April. Sure enough, he's getting practice time, and I know he's working out, as are most of these players, if not all of them. Specifically if you're on Nathan McKinnon's team, my God. But he hasn't played since then. They're going to have to get him some sort of conditioning. So that means going to the AHL and seeing what you can do there. And if you do well, now you join the rest of the 13th forward group.
So do you want to get into that then, figuring out what the hell's going on with these scratches?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So off the top of my head, candidates to be scratchpad players. Panic, who you just traded for. Leo Komarov, Ross Johnston, Michael Dal Cole, Otto Koivula, Travis Zajac, Kiefer Bellows. Who am I missing?
Anatoly Goloshev, maybe? We're just saying straight in AHL, right?
Okay. Ross, did I say Ross Johnston?
You did say Ross Johnston. So we're up to five. Was that five or six?
Seven.
Seven! that's a lot of players to be like, that's our 13th forward, guys. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Ay-yoy. So how many extra forwards do you think they keep, realistically? Two? And one defenseman?
They would have, yeah, I guess. When I wrote my depth, my depth chart, I was going to keep wanting to say depth roster. My depth chart 1.0, you know, prefacing where they're going and looking at what this team is going to look like come opening night, I had a really hard time thinking who the hell is going to be the healthy scratch, because there are so many of those guys. Are they burying Ross Johnston? I guess they might have to. Are they going to bury Leo Komarov? Might as well. You save, what, $1.125 million on the cap.
Yeah,
they need those guys at the AHL level.
They desperately do. So if I had my guess for who the two forward scratches are going to be, I think it would be Travis Zajac and Kiefer Bellows.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Because it doesn't make sense to send Kiefer Bellows down to the AHL. Although, why not, right? Like, hasn't played either.
Well, he could be claimed on waivers, though, no? At this point, he's not waivers exempt anymore.
Well, most of these guys are. The only people who are waiver exempt on the regular roster in terms of forwards is Oliver Wahlstrom.
Right. Like, I don't know. I'd be worried about losing Kiefer Bellows for nothing. I could care less if someone claims Komarov, Panik, Johnston, someone like that.
Fair enough. But then you still got guys like Koivula. Although these guys are already listed on the AHL roster. So, like, all these guys are listed in the AHL, including Kiefer Bellows.
Okay.
So I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. Unless he's called up. Or, sorry, no. Yeah, unless he goes back down. I keep forgetting because they got rid of one side of it. And for some reason, the connection in my brain isn't being made. It's when he's sent down.
I think it's sent down, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to have to bring him back at some point, I imagine, if he's going to be the 13th forward for him to play. And then the trouble begins when they eventually have to send him down.
Right, which I don't know. I don't know. Would you rather just let him ride out in the... I almost said the KHL. The AHL?
It was not a good day for us, eh?
No.
I'm blaming the heat. It's really hot here, and I'm sweating buckets in my basement, which is the coldest room in the house, without the one, like, with the air conditioning blowing in my face. That's the problem, right? That's where we're at now, where we're looking at this roster and going, who the hell is making this team? Who's going to be the two guys? Usually they carry two defensemen. They're not going to be doing that now, because... Well, you look at they already have a gap on their blue line. So, and the one, who's their extra defenseman? Thomas Hickey? Or is it Aho?
Aho. I would say Aho.
Right, so that's got to suck for him. He's not going to play much at all.
No. No, there's no way that he plays.
There's no way. And then next year, you've got Bodzik and Salo, probably, assuming they're still here, if we're not making a trade. Then Aho is just really not going to find a chance there either. And his deal is expiring this year. So it's just a weird situation where they're going to have to carry two forwards, and one of them might actually be Ross Johnston.
You think they'll keep Ross Johnston on the NHL roster?
That's the thing. I can talk myself into any one of these players staying.
Well, Ross Johnston, like, really didn't play after that first little bit. Like, he was in the lineup, and we were kind of like, what the heck is he doing? And then I don't really remember him making a comeback at any point later in the season.
Nor do I, even with injuries and such. I'm trying to bring up his game logs to just kind of see exactly if he showed up later on. I don't believe he did. Of course, nothing shows up here. This is so stupid. Hockey Reference, please. Whenever I type a player's name, I just assume it's going to bring up Hockey Reference, and it really doesn't. So his game logs for last year, the last one was May 10th. So he played May 4th, 6th, and 10th. But before that, he didn't see the ice between April 3rd and May 4th.
Yes, okay. So he didn't really play that much.
No, he played a whole 12 games. But I could see them putting him there. Are they? Who knows? That's the thing. They have so many bottom six extra 13th forward players that you can talk yourself into any of them. And there's too many. You listed off seven. So that means they keep two. Five have to go somewhere. That's a lot of players.
AHL.
Sure, which is great in terms of the cap, right? Because we listed off some of these guys. When you've got Richard Panik, Ross Johnston, let's say those guys are all going, and Leo Komarov. that's basically a full $1.125 million going down. Ross Johnson's the only exception because his cap hit is a full one.
Yeah.
So you're then saving on the cap, 125 plus 1.125, $3.25 million by sending Leo Komarov, Richard Panik, and Ross Johnson to the AHL.
Wait, I genuinely think that's what they're going to do. I don't see a scenario in which they keep those guys up.
Which makes sense, right? When you think about the Richard Panik trade or the Nick Leddy trade and getting Richard Panik back, because you're going, why Richard Panik? It's not that I don't like him as a player. It's just they have enough of those guys already, right? They had four, let's say, or they had a few before bringing him in, and then you bring him in as an extra. You're going, you've already got a bunch of extras. Why'd you bring an extra? And why at 50% off? Well, because you can bury basically that entire deal. Right at 1.125 being buried, you're really only keeping $250,000 on the cap.
Yeah, it's not. That's virtually nothing. So you sign up for that, I think. And worst case scenario, if there's like three injuries to the forward group, then he comes back in and plays.
Exactly right. So you've got depth. Most of these guys are probably going to play at the AHL level, which is great for people watching the AHL like me, because this team was already pretty good at the end of last season. Now you're adding depth like Richard Panik, probably. Things are looking up for the Bridgeport Islanders, I think.
Yeah, I would think so too. And like, I don't know, just after what? The last 2 years, they've been really bad, particularly, right? So I think, you know, it just makes them a little bit more formidable, like, you know, and puts the youngsters who are down there in a little bit of a better situation, because at least they'll be more competitive.
More competitive, you're winning, right? Like, nothing better to
that stuff matters.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, like, think about Simon Holmstrom, who's been there for 2 years and not doing a whole lot of winning, if anything. Not great. Like, as much as, you know, it was a shock to get him, we still want this kid to develop into something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, we'll see if, you know, they end up sending all those guys down or if there's a trade or something, but it does seem like there's a logjam. Like, we're not just, you know, making this up to talk about stuff. There is very much so a lot of guys who are going to be on that scratch pad potentially.
That's just it, right? And there's no taxi squads this year, right? There's no taxi squads. The ECHL is back, so that also helps with some of these depth movements. So yeah, things are moving, and I think this is kind of the key, at least to the AHL level, where the Bridgeport Islanders haven't really signed a lot of veterans. They signed one just the other day. And then you're like, ah, kind of makes sense. You look at these guys and yeah, they're probably going to go down.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm not opposed to sending some veterans down there and making the Islanders of Bridgeport a little bit more competitive.
Exactly. 100%. 100% agree with you.
Anything else on the scratches?
No, there's a lot of them. Can't wait to see how this works out. Would like for Lou to do something, but we're probably not going to find out what he's doing until April 11th when Adam Pellick is going through arbitration.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens there. That's next Wednesday, so we'll have a show for you that night. I'm sure a deal will be announced before the arbitration because that's what always happens, but we'll have some news for you next week, hopefully.
Absolutely. 100% we find out what Lou's been doing for the last 2 months.
So, Mitch, let's get to down on the farm. What do you got for us this week in the prospect world?
So there are signings, not just players. First, the Bridgeport Islanders brought in an assistant coach. They let two of them go.
Okay.
They brought in Rick Kowalski. So he was the head coach was coaching with the Devils and was a video coach for them, I believe, or in the player development side, actually. And now he's moving over to be an assistant coach for the Bridgeport Islanders, was a bench boss or assistant coach at the Devils level at some point, also was a head coach for the Albany River Rats. I think it was the Albany and not the Binghamton. Either way, he's from the Devil organization. He knows how to run an AHL bench. He's been on an NHL bench. They're giving Brent Thompson a little bit more quality.
Now, I'm asking you this already knowing your answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think it's a good conversation to have. Do you think this is putting Brent Thompson on the hot seat here?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, how come?
I just think that they're giving him someone of higher quality than the guys that he's already been around him. So I don't think that they're saying this is your replacement. If you don't do well, Rick's going to take your job. if they don't do well, I actually think that's going to happen, because why the hell not? But I don't think that's plan A. I think that's maybe plan B. But plan A is like, let's give you someone good, someone who's been there before. Because like Charkter went straight from playing to an assistant coach, right?
Yeah.
Really hasn't done much more at the coaching level. And it's not that he's been bad. I shouldn't say he's been bad. But he's going to – now he, being Brent Thompson, is get someone who's got more quality. And specifically also from a player development side, because if there's one thing that the Islanders haven't really done, and that's the Bridgeport Islanders, is develop talent consistently, at least at the forward level. So this gives them someone else to help bring up some of these kids like Simon Holmstrom and turn them into NHLers as soon as possible.
Yeah, and that obviously is a little bit of an issue in terms of the Islanders developing of forwards. It seems like from the AHL, because we've ran through this list numerous times, and it's been a while since a prospect has spent, you know, significant time in the AHL and come up and been developed, so to speak.
Right. Like Michael Dalcol is one of them, but they really didn't turn out a whole lot. Oliver Wahlstrom is maybe the only one we can talk about, and he did spend a full year there, so there's that.
Yeah, he would count. He would probably be the most recent one that would count, I would say.
Exactly. Of the forwards, at least. The defense, and we know they're churning them out like butter.
No, absolutely. So, okay. Anything else?
Player side, they signed six, they being the Bridgeport Islanders again. Jeff Kubiak, Eric Brown, Felix Bibeau, Cole Koski, Kyle McLean, and Chris Terry are all going to be, for most of these guys, coming back to the Bridgeport Islanders. Most of those guys, the first five, are coming back. Chris Terry is a new addition.
Okay.
Chris Terry is coming in from the KHL. Great numbers at the KHL level, and even great AHL career numbers. Guy's got like 526 AHL points over like 600 and some odd games.
So he's a vet. He's a vet over there.
Oh, hard. He's 32 years old. He's not coming in young. He's coming in not probably going to make the NHL, but is going to give these guys a top line winger that they can consistently rely on to put up points, unlike Tom Kunackle, who they were running out there last year.
Right, which that's not his game.
No, 552 points over 626 career AHL games. Wow. Pretty damn good AHLer.
Yeah, basically like Matt Molson at the end of his career.
Really, that's really what it's going to be. So then they missed that hard last year, right? They leaned really hard on their youth and some of their vets, and the vets just weren't doing it. Just not doing it. Tom Hoonockle wasn't even 100% healthy when the season started.
Yeah. He's not – is he still under contract?
Not that I'm aware of. Not at the NHL level. I don't believe he's on a contract at the AHL level either.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. I wonder if they do anything there.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think they're good for the Bridgeport Islanders. When you think of their roster from last year, like the last game they played, most of these guys are coming back. Most of these guys are already there, and these guys are coming back. They lost a few in like Bobo Carpenter and Dmytro Timoshov. I imagine those roles will be taken up by some of the vets we just talked about.
Right, and probably an upgrade if we're being completely honest.
That's exactly right. So, sucks for them, but they didn't really do a whole lot. Dmytro Timoshov did a little bit, but Bobo Carpenter wasn't that great.
Yeah.
The last thing I've got is training camp or development camp for Team Canada is done. We had two players there, and they didn't do that well.
Okay, what happened?
They just didn't do well at all. They didn't stand out much. William Dufour and Tristan Lennox. Tristan Lennox is the third-round pick from this year's draft, the goalie from the Saginaw Spirit. Just didn't really stand out compared to the rest of the class. So I don't imagine that they're going to be making the team. This was the step one to making the Team Canada roster for the World Junior Championship. These guys were already on the periphery, so they needed to stand out big to even have a chance. They didn't, so I don't imagine they will be back for the next round of development camp.
Okay. That's a little bit of a bummer.
It is, but the odds were already long for both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I held out hope, at least for William Dufour.
Right. It just unfortunately just didn't go to plan.
Yeah. But it could change. If he has a monster year like he should very well at the QMJHL level, maybe they reconsider things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have to see there. I have to ask, just because I'm the leader of the fan club now, any news on Atu Ratu?
Nothing new. I sent him a text about just his production and how monstrous it was. It just big old thanks and a thumbs up. Spoke to Itu Lucas as well about the development or the summer showcase, and he too was like, yeah, that it was good. It was fun. I did what I needed to do. He had a lot of penalty minutes, 20 over six games.
Wow. Oh, God. He was getting involved.
He was getting involved. Again, I keep bringing him back to Cal Clutterbuck because that's exactly what he reminds me of. Just Cal Clutterbuck 2.0 is what he is.
Absolutely. So maybe he has a future there at an NHL level bottom six role.
Bro, if he ever makes the NHL, it's going to be that, which is fine. You need those players.
Sure.
But maybe he turns out to more. I'm not sure about that. But he had a good summer showcase. Most of those guys did. So we'll see there. But no new news with Atu Ratu.
Okay. Shall we get to the quiz then?
Let's get to that, buddy. As we do every week, I have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt.
I'm ready.
With five clues to guess who they are. They have nothing to do with the show episode, in case you're new to this. So five clues to guess who this player is. They get progressively easier as you go. Are you ready?
Born ready. Let's do it.
All right. Clue number one. I put up 88 points in 59 games during my draft year.
Next.
I was picked 61st overall.
61st overall. Okay, next.
I played on the Belorussian World Cup team.
Okay, next.
I played for the Ottawa Senators, HC Davos, Novosibirsk, and Dynamo Minsk. As well as the Islanders, obviously.
Yeah. Pajo?
Incorrect. No.
Okay.
I was acquired for a 2016 third round pick at the 2016 trade deadline.
Shane Prince. Okay, there you go.
So last year, the Belorussian one, I wanted to throw you off because I thought that was weird. He played for their World Cup team last year. Shane Prince did.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And now he's moving on to another Russian side. Is it Yekaterinburg? I believe he's moving on to Yekaterinburg, which is Golishev's old team.
Okay. I kind of liked Shane Prince.
Yeah, I was down with Shane Prince. Again, like he had a really good junior career, right? 88 points in 59 games, and I think he did better the year after that. I'm just pulling it up now. So he was drafted as 61st overall in 2011. Okay. In 2011-2012, had 90 points in 57 games with 43 goals.
Huh. That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah. And yes, he is going back. He's going to Avtomobilis. So that's Golishev's old team.
Okay. There you go. Love it.
There you go. Good old mention for Shane Prince on the show today.
Bringing us down memory lane of... didn't he have two goals in game one of the Tampa series in 2016?
He sure did.
Love that. Good for him. Let's get to the social segment. Mitch, what do you got for us this week?
The first one is Brock Nelson doing Brock Nelson things at the Beauty League.
Death taxes and him just going off in the Beauty League.
Picks up the puck in the neutral zone, walks in, and fires one past whatever poor goalie was in there. I'm sure it's an NHL goalie. Brock loves the Beauty League. Most of these guys do. It's a fun little... Is it 3-on-3?
Yeah.
3-on-3 league, and like some of... It's basically like NHL, the video game. Right in the 3-on-3 where they play with like hot pucks that you score, it counts for two goals type thing. That's what they're doing there. And he just goes off every year and it leads right into the season and Brock becomes Brocktober and it's beast mode.
Yeah, hopefully he carries over this year.
So he's getting ready, my man.
Absolutely. My first one comes from Newsday and it says, sources, Brendan Burke close to new MSG Networks deal to stay as Islanders broadcaster.
Incredible.
Love it. Keep this guy around for as long as possible. He is tremendous. The fact, I've said this a million times, but the fact that we've been able to go from Howie Rose to Brendan Burke back to back, like that's hopeful, knock on wood, like 40 years of just excellent broadcast. And then Jigs McDonald before that, like, come on.
Exactly, right? So good job by them. And apparently he turned down the gig to do Chicago games.
Really? Okay.
apparently there's a rumor saying that he was offered the Chicago gig and he said, no, I want to stay where I am. And I'm not sure it's like, I want to stay just because I want to stay. I'm sure they offered him more. But it's probably also because he's not only comfortable, he doesn't have to move his entire family to the Midwest, I guess.
Yeah.
Where they're settled now in New York, and he's in New York. Like if you're looking to go anywhere in this field, you it's at least nationally, right? Like his next step is nationally. I imagine he wants to stay in New York and not go to Chicago.
Right. Chicago, great city, big market for sure. Blackhawks probably a bigger team. They are definitely a bigger team than the Islanders, their original six team and stuff, all that. But I love that he wants to stay in New York. I think it's awesome.
Absolutely. My next one is from Frank Saravalli, saying that the NHL salary cap is going up by $1 million next year.
I love it. That makes a big difference. I know $1 million doesn't sound like a whole lot, but it matters.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be frozen for 2 to 3 years. It's going to be frozen for exactly two, and then it's going up. But yes, only $1 million, but it means it's still going up. That means the NHL is, nature is healing. The NHL is recovering after the pandemic.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. And I hope it continues to go up. That makes life easier for NHL GMs.
Yeah, the Lou Lamoriello has been able to do what he needs to do with a frozen cap. Now it's going up. Look out.
Right. And they're going to have some work to do, because you're going to imagine that Barzal's going to need a new deal. Sorokin's going to need a new deal probably by then. And then you'll have Beauvillier. Pulak is going to need a new one. Dobson as a bridge deal maybe. So they have some work to do.
They've got some work to do. Having another extra $1 million in the coffer is going to help them a lot.
Absolutely. My last one is a quote from Ilya Sorokin. And it's, the question was, how do you like life in New York? And he says, it is important to understand that I live in Long Island. I'm going to pause for a second. I'm going to give him the in Long Island. Usually I would flip out about that, but the language barrier, he is still very new to this. So I'm not going to get on him for the in versus on Long Island.
But I think this is also translated. So in Russian, that's how it translates.
Okay. Even more credit to him. Yeah. But also love that he's basically a Long Islander, because we always make the differentiation that it's different from like the city and stuff like that. He goes on to say, and this is not really New York. We are far from Manhattan, from the business city. Everything suits me. It's clean, comfortable, tidy, near the ocean with good promenade where you can spend time, take a walk. I didn't go to cafes. I ordered more home. What I like most is that it is 4 minutes by car from home to the training arena. It is 7 minutes to the stadium. Now it will be a little bit more because of the arena, but not by much. Someone will think that this is boring, but I did not have much fun in Moscow either. That's a perfect quote. I loved every little bit of it. Just tremendous.
The man doesn't like to leave home, likes to have his own little world.
Yeah.
Isn't really the man like to go out on the town and have a big party type thing. Just low-key man and perfect. That is perfect for Long Island.
Mitch, he's basically me. He described me. I stay in my room. I blog and podcast all day. I'm 10 minutes from the Coliseum and the training facilities, pretty much right down the block, so maybe an extra 2 minutes for that. Me and Ilya Sorokin are one and the same is what I'm getting out of this.
It really struck me that he had to correct, like, wait, I'm not in New York. I'm on Long Island. It's different. Right there. Like, he understands immediately that there's a difference, right? Because anyone else, like, well, like, if I explain to friends and family that I'm going to New York, like, if I'm going to the game, well, I'm going to New York for the game. Like, oh, cool. Where are you staying? Like, in Manhattan or something? Like, no, I'm going to Long Island. They're like, I don't understand. But you said New York. I'm trying to help you, because I told you Long Island, you look at me like a deer lost in the headlights.
Right. But it, as someone who, well, let me ask it like this. Before you came to Long Island, did you think of it like the same thing, like a New York all in one kind of a thing?
Yes.
Okay. So then once you see that for the experience for the first time, there's very much so a big difference, no?
Yes. You have to experience it. Because yes, Manhattan is like the business capital, like he calls it, right? Because that's the business center. And it's more of suburban on Long Island. which is that's how it works. And yeah. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But it's very different. It is very, very different. And you don't understand until you go there. Because from here, everything you hear and see about New York is skyscrapers everywhere. And Spider-Man is doing his thing all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even on Long Island, right? Because he's from Brooklyn, is he not?
I think Queens.
Queens, right?
I'm pretty close, right? Yeah.
We assume that you could, you know, Spider-Man your way across everywhere. That's not the case.
Yeah, no. No, not. But I love that he's, what, been around a year, but he gets it.
That's it. He gets it, and he's just been here for a little bit.
Cool. Anything else from you, buddy?
That's all I've got.
All right, so that is going to do it for us on this episode. Before we go, a couple of plugs. So wherever you're listening, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and review. We really appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is at Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/Eyes on Isles. You can also download the Fansided app, get us there, or visit the website. And last but not least, the Patreon, Mitch. $5 a month gets you a ton of extra content. So during the season, post-game shows. Right now, no season going on. So instead, in place of the post-games, we're breaking down major topics. You still get the mailbag show. You get a whole community of Islanders fans over there, a Discord, group chat. What else am I missing?
The Discord is the big one. The mailbag we're doing. Everyone right now is going off in the Discord about... Who is it? Murphy's Law. Oh, God.
Oh,
Murphy's
God.
Law, Sydney Force, saying, like, Kyle Palmieri is not officially signed by the Isles. Do what you may with that. I assume that's how he sounds. I'm sorry,
think so.
Murphy's Law, but I'm not a big fan. And so people are going off about that. But the Discord is alive and well. The mailbag, I opened it late, real late, like 5 o'clock late, and there are 17 questions in there. People are dying to get questions in.
We're going to be busy. So, Mitch, let's get on over to that. But just wanted to thank you one more time for listening. Appreciate it. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.